Good afternoon. It is 5 o'clock, and you are listening to your community radio station, KSKQLP 94.9 in Ashland, Oregon, a project of the Multicultural Association of Southern Oregon. And top of the 5 o'clock hour, we are here with Beer Radio. And let's start it off with a good beer drinking song.
Im Himmel gibt's kein Bier, drum trinken wir es hier. Denn sind wir nicht mehr hier, dann trinken die anderen unser Bier.
Sicher muss der Wein vom Rhein etwas Wunderbares sein.
Sicher ist am feinen Sekt etwas, was besonders schmeckt.
Sicher ist der Schnaps so scharf, dass man einen heben darf.
Aber heute seid gescheit, liebe Leute. Im Himmel gibt's kein Bier, drum trinken wir es hier. Denn sind wir nicht mehr hier, dann trinken wir alle unser Bier.
Seinen Tick und seine Eigenart.
Eine fliegt auf glatt rasiert, die andere auf den Bart.
Einer möchte nur Fußball spielen, dem anderen ist das Durst.
Wir allein gestehen es ein, wir haben immer Durst.
Vom Rhein etwas Wunderbares sein.
Sicher ist am feinen Sekt etwas, was besonders schmeckt.
Sicher ist der Schnaps so scharf, dass man einen heben darf.
Aber heute seid gescheit, liebe Leute. Im Himmel gibt's kein Bier, drum trinken wir es hier. Denn sind wir nicht mehr hier, dann trinken die anderen.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Beer Radio. I am Ginger Johnson, your host here at KSKQ.org. And Beer Radio, it is another fine episode. We have got our first call-in guest today. And it'll be John Hall shortly. He is, well, I'll introduce him when he calls in. John's a great guy and a beer enthusiast and very knowledgeable with beer. So, once again, you're listening to Beer Radio. We are coming to you live from KSKQ.org. You can stream it. You can check it out on the archives when it is convenient for you. Thanks to Will directly preceding the show with Swallow Your Soul, another great live show here on KSKQ.org. So Beer Radio is all about beer. We are talking about beer and beer and food and trends, industry news, history, process, ingredients, and so on and so forth. You can always send your requests, your questions, your comments to us. In fact, we'd love to hear from you, of course. You can reach me, Ginger Johnson, your host. You can reach me at ginger@womenenjoyingbeer.com, and we'll bring your questions and comments to the table the following week. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/womenenjoybeer, as well as on Facebook. So there's lots of options. So we started with a fabulous traditional German beer drinking song, In Heaven There Is No Beer, although it was the German version, which I suppose is the origination. So I don't know the translation other than that. So here we are, Beer Radio. John Hall is going to be our guest today. I can tell you a little bit before he calls in. John Hall has beerbriefing.com, and John is a beer enthusiast, and he recently just launched, in fact, the book just got released, called Indiana Breweries, a book that he and his colleague Nate co-wrote about the brew pubs and microbreweries of the Hoosier State, Indiana, one of our fine 50 United States. And he'll be talking about that as well as some other topics we have to bring up and ask him about. And I just saw John at the Craft Brewers Conference last week, or a week and a half ago. Man, time flies. So he's agreed to be our guest today, and he will be here shortly. In fact, I just heard the phone ring. This is live radio, after all. So I'm thinking he's going to be patched through directly. So
we
got him, apparently. Let's see if he's on. Go ahead and push the call button there. Hey, John, are you there? Hello? John? Hello? We are looking for you, John. We're fussing with the machinery, so if you can hear me, hang in there. John? Hello? Not yet.
No.
Well, while we figure this out, we'll talk a little bit about more about John Hall in front of his back before we get him live on the radio. John and I met at the Great American Beer Festival last year. That's another annual huge grandmama of all festivals in Denver, Colorado. And we were both in the media swirl, and so we met each other at the media luncheon, which was absolutely incredible. And one thing led to another, and pretty soon we were the troublemakers in the back of the bus in a good kind of way. But that's how we met, and that is that's why he's our guest today. John, can you hear us? Working on the technicalities of the call-in. No worries. We'll just keep going. That's the beauty of live radio. You just get to get what you get. So, John is our guest. Why don't we put on a song while we're figuring things out? And we'll be right back, hopefully, with John Hall live on...
All right, wait a second.
Hang on. This is Beer Radio Central coming to you. Wow. John?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, thanks for sticking with us, man.
No,
how are you?
It's my fault. I'm actually calling in on a tin can on a string.
On a tin can? This is not a Progresso ad, John. Hey, thanks for calling. How the heck are you?
I'm doing really well, Ginger. Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Oh, absolutely. Anytime you want to be had, just let me know.
Sure.
Hey, we are, of course, we're live here on Beer Radio at kskq.org. So let's tell the world a little bit more about what you're about. Why the heck did you ever get into beer in the first place, John?
Well, you know, I was a newspaper reporter for a lot of years, and I covered everything from hard crime to politics. And so when I transitioned out of the daily newspaper world and I took a look at what I enjoyed doing and what I enjoyed writing about, craft beer just sort of popped right in front of me, and I haven't looked back since.
So hard crime to politics, are those the same thing, or are they mutually exclusive?
They can be the same thing. I live in New Jersey, so anything's possible out here.
So you went to something more legalized in the form of beer.
That's right. Well, you know, legalized, after Prohibition, and we're celebrating the anniversary of the repeal tomorrow, actually, aren't we?
Yeah, I think that's coming right up. You are right. Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, happy birthday, post-Prohibition.
Happy birthday, beer.
Yeah. Happy birthday, beer. Happy birthday to us. Yeah. So what's going on in New Jersey this week with your, well, maybe you're not even in New Jersey because you're promoting this fabulous new book, Indiana Breweries. Where are you at right now?
I am actually back in New Jersey. I spent last week in southern Indiana, in Louisville and Nashville, touring that part of the country, which was a lot of fun. And obviously the week before that, I was out in San Francisco for the Craft Brewers Conference. So right now I am back home for a little bit, and then we're going to be headed back out to Indiana in the next couple of weeks to continue promoting this book, which is called Indiana Breweries, and it is a profile, sort of like a travel guide, if you will, of all 37 breweries that are in the Hoosier State. Some people might know, like Three Floyds. That's the largest in the state right now, and they obviously do a big beer release every spring called Dark Lord Day, which is when
yes.
they release their Russian Imperial Stout, and it has a pretty strong following in the beer geek community, as it were. But Indiana has a lot of great breweries, and in this new book that we have, we're really happy to profile and feature all of them.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, and I understand that the Three Floyds...
Okay?
Yeah, you're doing great. Thanks.
Am I still with you?
Yes, you're still with us, darling. Don't worry.
I might have lost you.
So I understand...
Did I sever the string?
Yeah. So I'm guessing you've been asked this question before, but I don't think our listeners have heard it.
Continue to drink beer in the meantime and see if anybody responds to me.
Hello? Can you hear me? John.
Oh, that was a delicious sip. Now I'm going to have another.
John, can you hear me?
I honestly don't know what's happening right now if I'm broadcasting. My dog is looking at me kind of strange right now.
Can you still hear us, John?
Where I live.
John, can you hear us?
I'm here.
There you are. Okay, great.
Did you guys lost me for a little
no,
while?
No, that's okay. I caught the, you're there with Pepper, I take it.
Yes.
Is she, you know what, let's start off with Pepper, because she was on my list. She apparently channeled and wanted to be in a beer ad, and her request was, what, turned down? Or tell us
it
a little bit about that.
No. It was a funny little thing that happened in the neighborhood dog park. I was out walking her one night. My dog is a mutt. She's got some terrier in her, some schnauzer, some shepherd, some sheepdog. She's a little bit of everything. Some raccoon, I think, is in there as well. And she's like a classic looking mutt, and you know, I'm really quite fond of her. And we're at the dog park one night, and there's a guy with a Dalmatian, and out of nowhere, the guy sort of makes a snide comment about my dog, the mutt, and says, you know, well, my dog's breed is featured in Budweiser commercials, and your dog could never be in a beer commercial. And I feel it's important to point out at this time that I had little interaction with the guy beforehand, and that he didn't know who I am, or that I write for beer publications, or that I'm friends with brewers, or anything like that. This was just a complete non sequitur from this guy. So I take Pepper out of the dog park in a huff, and I'm all upset, and I come home and I tell my wife that, sure, you know, Pepper might not be a purebred, but she could be in a beer ad. So I wrote this story up for craftbeer.com, and it ran, and in there I made an appeal to all of the craft brewers in America saying, let's prove this jerk at the dog park wrong and get Pepper in a beer ad, and nobody responded to me. So, which is fine. Pepper, you know, enjoys drinking her doggy beer when we're here, and you know, occasionally steal sips of mine along the way. So she's no worse for the wear, and she's no wiser to the fact that she was insulted by a jerk at the dog park. So everything is,
you know, dog,
well on that front.
Dogs are great that way. They're extremely forgiving.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw your video of that, and how Pepper was doing some testing of some doggy beers, and had never been aware of that before. So that was fun. In fact, we could start an every dog campaign for you know, just the regular dogs all over the world. I'm sure that my two dogs, Belle and Hops, how appropriately named is that? You know, and
a good
Pepper beer is always in order. Those are darn hard to find. Did you find any Pepper beers in writing your Indiana Breweries book, John? John? Hello?
Ginger, I feel like our grand experiment of connecting the two coasts is not working well this evening.
I think you're right. Can you hear me better now?
The ghosts of Marconi are conspiring against us.
That could be. Maybe we need to try it another night. Hello? John, can you hear me?
I'm just going to sip some more beer.
I don't know what's going on. John, can you hear me?
Hey, Steve.
Well, I think that we will punt with another topic and work out the connection for another time. John, can you hear me at all? All right. I think we've lost him, but that's the beauty of live radio. So we will have him back another time. That was John Hall with Indiana Brewery's new book, as well as thebeerbriefing.com. So we will take a break and catch another song here shortly on Beer Radio, and be back in a few moments with a community service announcement and continue Beer Radio live here on KSKQ.org 94.9 FM in Ashland, Oregon.
Was tut man denn nicht für den Fremdenverkehr? Der Fremdenverkehr zieht die Fremden uns her. Drum muss irgendwas für die Fremden geschehen, was sie bei uns nur sehen.
Der Maibaum, die Wiesen verlieren ihren Glanz, erschallen die Watschen beim Tanz.
Ja, den Watschentanz, ja, den Watschentanz tanzt der Schneider Hans mit dem Schuster Franz. Ja, der Watschentanz, der ist sehr beliebt, weil's bei uns nichts Schöneres gibt.
Und es klatscht nicht schlecht, und es patscht nicht schlecht, und dabei sind die Watschen nicht echt. Alle Fremden bleiben ganz verwundert stehen, weil sie sowas noch nirgends gesehen. Watschentanz,
tanzt der Schneider Hans mit dem Schuster Franz.
Ja, der Watschentanz, der ist sehr beliebt, weil's bei uns nicht Schöneres gibt.
Und es klatscht nicht schlecht, und es patscht nicht schlecht, und dabei sind die Watschen nicht echt.
Alle Fremden bleiben ganz verwundert stehen, weil sie sowas noch nirgends gesehen.
Welcome back to Beer Radio. This is Ginger Johnson on Beer Radio at KSKQ.org, 94.9 FM, streamable and archived on KSKQ.org. We have special guest today, John Hall. He is calling in from...
Special?
Well, of course. You're special in lots of different ways, but
Thank you. It's
not the short bus kind of way. And John Hall is here with us, and John has beerbriefing.com, and he just launched with his co-author, Indiana Breweries, a book, about the 37, I thought there were 39 Indiana breweries. There's 37, is that right?
Well, you know, there's a couple others out there. We're profiling 37 in there, and these are the 37 that you can visit. There are a couple of breweries in the state that are open but do not permit tours. So we mention them in the book, we're not giving people a full-on tour book profile of them because we don't want them to show up at the front door and only to be turned away. And there are also, other breweries in the state, like Granite City, that chain as well, that didn't necessarily meet the criteria for the book this time around. But we do certainly mention them when we visited them, and we certainly enjoyed our time.
Okay, so why didn't I'm quite familiar with Granite City, and I'll tell you
yes,
why
I
in
know.
Just a moment. But why did you disclude Granite City?
You know, there were conversations that we had with our editors and with other beer writers. And the way that Granite City works is, as you well know, but about two-thirds of the process is done at a separate brewery out of state, and then they ship the wort to the individual brew pubs where they pitch it with yeast and let it ferment. So in the book, we encourage people to learn about the brewing process from start to finish, which most breweries permit you to do. Granite City, only having fermenters, doesn't allow for that.
You know,
we're not telling people not to go to
No, no, I know what you're saying.
It's an interesting process, but they're also not open to the public typically when they are moving the yeast from these, what are essentially giant milk trucks. It's actually a really cool process. And putting them in the fermenters, so that's not even open to the public. So, so that's the reason that we didn't include Granite City. It's not a knock on their beer quality or anything along those lines. It's just
not a start to finish.
People
brewpub.
Expect to go to a brewery to see the brewing process.
Sure.
And they're only going to be able to see. Well, they won't actually really be able to see anything since you can't see into the fermenters. So, so that's why we didn't include them. And then there's another one called BJ's.
Yes.
That gets all of its beer shipped from Reno, Nevada. So we didn't include them in the book.
But okay, very good. So how did you and Nate know each other? Were you in kindergarten together and your co-author? Tell us how you and Nate came together.
Nate and I worked at a small newspaper in New York City together where we covered crime and politics and all the other stuff. And we became good friends through that. And when the opportunity arose to write a book, I approached Nate to see if he wanted to do it with me, and he did. And we wound up traipsing around the Hoosier States, drinking beer and talking to good people.
Okay, cool.
Yeah,
excellent.
no, it's not a lifelong friendship, but I've known Nate for, five, six, seven years now. And, a friendship like that only gets more solidified when you're spending weeks on end with each other in a small rental car.
Right, just feels like forever sometimes, huh?
Yes, indeed.
Very good. Excellent. And so then my next question is, why Indiana? What's the Jones for Indiana? Was there simply an opportunity to write a book? Nobody's done that before. Do you have a particular affinity for it, or what was the thrust there?
It's a couple of things, actually. In my reporting career, I did spend some time working for the Indianapolis Star, which is in the state capital there, and really worked for the newspaper and got to know the state really well. So when it came time to write a book, and our book is part of an existing series from Stackpole. Stackpole Books is our publisher out of Pennsylvania, so they've published Pennsylvania breweries in New York and New Jersey. I'm working on Massachusetts right now as my second book. Missouri's in the works. Ohio is in the works. So it's this existing series, and we're just happy to contribute Indiana to it. And one of the things that I really enjoy about Indiana is that it's an underappreciated state.
Mm.
And so this is the opportunity to tell people about the great beer that's being made there. It's flyover country. Look at a national weather map, for example. National weather map will have Chicago, it'll have Cincinnati, and then that whole space in the middle, that whole state in the middle, doesn't get the love. But
right.
There's really great things that happen in Indiana, and there's really just wonderful people who live there and attractions to see and just experiences to be had. So it's not a state that has a lot of, glamour to it, if you will, but it's definitely a state worth checking out. So as a writer, it was a lot of fun for the two of us to be out there exposing people and telling people about the great things that are being done in the Hoosier State.
Excellent. Right on. Well, we're going to pause for a community service announcement, and then we will be right back.
Okay.
McGuire Industries is a proud sponsor of KSKQLP, 94.9 FM in Ashland, Oregon. Providing communications engineering, solid-state lighting, consultation services, and more. Contact Mike McGuire at 541-201-8777 or email engineering@ashlandhome.net. KSKQ thanks McGuire Industries and listeners like you for supporting community radio.
All right, thanks. Welcome back to Beer Radio. This is Ginger Johnson, your host. We're coming to you live from Southern Oregon. We have a fabulous guest and colleague and friend, John Hall, on the line today, calling from the East Coast. Isn't that great? Yeah, too bad you're not here. We could go out for dinner and a few beers afterwards. But
the damn continent separated.
Well, when you're shopping for your next, co-author, let me know. I've globetrotted a little bit, too. So before we get to your book, your new book, John, Indiana Breweries Again, I want to talk a little bit about beer briefing. And, of course, it's not based in the underwear industry. It's based in beer. Why don't you tell us a little bit of what beer briefing is about?
Well, you know, basically, I write for a number of different publications, various websites, and I basically use the beerbriefing.com to highlight the work that I've done elsewhere. It's just sort of an online resume, if you will, and it's occasionally peppered with stories that come up that I don't have a print home for, but that I think are worthwhile to talk about. And I should point out that if anybody actually bothers to go to it, it is under construction right now, so it looks like a blog. We will be tweaking it in the next couple of weeks, but basically it's just a place where I can put all of the work that I've done for various publications all in one spot, and hopefully give people a pretty good sense of the good work that's being done within the craft beer industry these days.
Okay, excellent. Right on. Very good. So let's get back and talk more about your Indiana Breweries, your book that now it's available on Amazon. Is that correct?
It's on Amazon. It's in Barnes & Noble. It's available on the Stackpole website as well.
Okay.
But yeah, no, Barnes & Noble is a good source for it, or you know, wherever. Or if you live in Indiana, there's obviously, you know, the stores like that, and then independent bookstores as well.
Sure. Okay. Now, have you been mobbed at any of the book signings yet, John? Have you had any scuffles or any lacerations as a result of that?
It's a humbling experience signing books. We did two events that were actually a lot of fun this weekend at the New Albanian Brewing Company, which is in way southern Indiana, right across from Louisville. And I really love the two locations that they have. The food is excellent. One is a pizzeria, and one is sort of modern cuisine. And the beers that Jared and Jesse, the two brewers out there, are doing are just phenomenal. They're doing a lot of really great session beers. You know, these beers that are 5% alcohol and less. And but really packed with flavor, and they don't put you under the table if you have a bunch of them. And it's a great social occasion. So we hung out with a lot of really cool people this weekend. We sold some books and we signed some books, and I think we had a good time. So, but those are the first two that we did. My family has been very kind and generous in picking up copies along the way. But we'll be going back out to Indianapolis in just a couple of weeks, and we'll be doing some events out there. And we'll be putting that up on our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/IndianaBreweries. As I just keep throwing all of these various ways to get
resources
in contact with me out to your audience.
Resources are good. Excellent. You know, and you just touched on one of my, you know, when people say, I know you get asked this question, John, people say, what's your favorite beer? Well, first of all, that's an impossible one to answer.
Yeah.
But my answer is always the one in front of me, and then it's the But you talked about session beers, and I've talked about those a little bit before, so we're just going to refresh people's memory. A session beer is a beer that's lower in alcohol that you can drink several of in a session and not have major negative impacts. And that historically comes from the immigration of our country, and definitely from a lot of other countries. You know, the beer garden. I one of my goals, I don't know about you, John, but one of my goals is to bust the myth that beer is not family friendly. And of course it's family friendly. It started with the beer gardens, with the low alcohol session beers, and I'm sure there were some higher ones mixed in there, but you know, it's a family affair, multi-generational, and quite frankly, beer is something that makes water safe to drink. And I'm wondering, have you ever written any kind of articles about how the actual process of beer has been I wouldn't go so far as life-saving, but definitely, you know, is safe hydration. Have you ever talked about that in any of your writing before?
You know, no, I haven't. But I have talked about, I have an article that's coming up in a magazine in a couple of weeks that talks about the history of the beer gardens
excellent.
Over in Germany, and how they became a social place, and how they were, in fact, you know, exactly what you said, it made water safe to drink. So I've touched upon some of that in articles, but I haven't gotten into the full crux of what you said. But it's a good idea. So somebody should do it.
Yeah, absolutely. So I will. So there.
Okay.
I like drinking them too, just like you said, because you can have a few of them, and it's, you know, it's lighter in alcohol. So for the people, one thing I find interesting in my research with women enjoying beer is that a lot of people have this misnomered thinking that beer is really high in calories. And while some beer certainly is generous in the caloric intake, a lot of them them are really very reasonable, and especially when you compare it to wine, and wine is not the devil and neither are spirits. You know, it's, we're just using it for sake of comparison. Tell me, John, what the highest and the lowest alcohol content beers you ran into in writing your new book, Indiana Breweries, were.
Boy, well, one of the lowest was certainly a, I think it was in the just about the 3% range.
Wow.
And it was a Prohibition-era recipe that Jared Williamson created at this New Albanian Brewing Company that I had mentioned earlier. And but it had this really nice hop flavor to it. It had a really good, strong flavor overall. And it was like drinking a heavier beer, but clocking in at only about 3%. It was quite nice, actually.
Delish.
It didn't give you the full punch of, say, a pale ale that you'd get today, a California pale ale like a Sierra Nevada, for example. But it did definitely have a lot of good characteristics going for it. As far as the high alcohol content goes, I'm pretty sure I had something on the 11 or 12% range, and it was a barley wine from Sun King Brewing in Indianapolis.
Ah, sure. Okay.
And I don't know the exact alcohol content on it at the time, because we were drinking it straight from the fermenters. It wasn't quite ready yet, but it was it wasn't quite ready to be bottled yet or packaged yet, but okay. It was really quite good.
Mm.
And I'm just trying to think if there's anything else that comes out there. But about, you know, there's about 10-11% on some of the beers.
Sure.
that you can get out in Indiana.
Sure.
But, you know, it's interesting that you brought up the session beers as well, though, just because American craft brewers have really done amazing things with changing the whole notion of what beer is and what beer can
right,
be.
Right.
And I think that the big race has been in recent years for them to get up to the 15% mark. Or then, you know, you look at like a Utopia from Sam Adams, which
right.
is released every 2 years, and it's got almost no carbonation to it, but it's got 27% alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
And it's wonderful.
Crazy,
it's
yeah.
But, you know, but it's a Wednesday night, and I'm not going to open one right now just to drink it. Well, it's also, you know,
yeah, that's a Sharon beer.
Yeah,
when we had some friends that called us when that first came out. I want to say that came out in the early 2000s for the first time. And does that sound about right to you?
A little bit before that. I think
okay.
it was the Millennium series on it, but
of course.
I have to go back to my notes. But
yeah, we had some friends that called us up and said, hey, we're all going in on a bottle because, of course, as you and I both know, this is also a very special beer, and it's definitely on the high-end mark. So we went in with several people and got a bottle and proceeded to sip and enjoy it. It was certainly very myth-busting in your own mind, thinking it's that whole, you know, this is beer kind of thinking. So, yeah. Hey,
but,
now, go ahead, sorry.
I was just going to say, but with all of these high alcohol content, it's not hard to find a 15% beer in the store these days.
Hmm.
But with all of those out there, it is really nice to know that there are brewers out there that are doing a really flavorful 3%. So
yes.
that you can go out with friends, you
yep.
can drink responsibly, you can have a couple, and then still make it home safe. That's a really important thing.
Absolutely.
And the breweries are still making money off the pint, so it's really a win-win for everybody.
Yeah. I remember the last small beer I had, which is another name for, you know, really low alcohol
sure.
content. I had one at Limestone Brewing. Ken McMullen, the brewer there, and a great guy and colleague, he made one off second runnings. And for those of you that might not know what that means that you use the same batch of ingredients and you simply make another batch of beer. Low alcohol is captured because a lot of the content that can ferment out from the first batch is gone. And so you make a really low alcohol content. He had made one from a stout. So this beer, John, tasted like an iced coffee. It was incredible. And it was like 2.5%. Yeah, it's like, but you don't see small beers enough, in my humble opinion. And I think it would be great and definitely good education for the public to get back to some of those small beers, especially with how extreme they do range now. And, you know, there's a place for all of them. It is nice to have a lot more options and definitely have some that are lower alcohol content for everybody, especially if you're getting into beer. Sometimes that alcohol-y taste with a real high content beer is kind of a turnoff to some people, I'm afraid. But it's good to know they're out there. So I also understand, John, the Alcatraz Brewing is now closed from Indianapolis. Did you
yeah.
happen to catch them before they were closed? Are they in the book, or did they not make the cut? Okay,
and,
you talked to Omar?
Yeah, Omar is a great brewer.
Oh, he is. I know him also.
He's also just a stand-up guy. And he actually landed shortly before they closed. And I don't think it was a thing where he's sort of writing on the wall. He just had an opportunity to go and open up a new brew house in the northern part of Indianapolis called Scotty's Three Wise Men. And
oh, okay.
He set up shop there, and his apprentice took over as the brewer at Alcatraz. And I think Omar was there for maybe about 6 months or so, and Skip, his apprentice, was running the brewery for about 6 months before
okay.
Alcatraz shuttered their doors. But Omar is a stand-up guy.
In
fact, we're doing our book launch party at Three Wise Men with Omar's Beers on April 28th, and we're really looking forward
cool.
to that.
Cause, excellent.
He's a fun guy to hang out with. He's a fun guy to drink it with. And
yeah.
He's a really talented brewer, and you know Indiana has a lot of talented brewers, but he's certainly up there with them. The good news is, with Alcatraz closing, that the equipment was sold to the brewer who took over Skip and some other guys, and they're going to be opening up a new brewery in the Fountain Square neighborhood of Indianapolis in the next couple of months.
Okay.
So the equipment got a good home. It got a local home, so... while Alcatraz might be closed, Indianapolis won't be down a brewery for too much longer.
No, and you know, Omar has dogs, too. He's a huge dog lover. I don't know if you knew that or not, but yes, so that's good. Yeah, excellent, cool. So my next question, first of all,
ma'am.
Give everybody a reminder, we're listening to Beer Radio on KSKQ.org. You can stream it. You can listen to the archives working in your brewery or in your garage or cooking dinner or whatever. And we come to you live every Wednesday on KSKQ.org. I'm talking to John Hall, a colleague, friend, and beer buff, about his new book, Indiana Breweries. He's also beerbriefing.com. John is an accomplished writer, and he's just fun to share a beer with. So, John, my next question is, one of my standards, and I don't know if you've heard me say this or not, but one of my standards is eat off the floor clean. When I visit breweries, you know, they range, there's no doubt in my mind that they're all passionate about beer. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
So it's always an interesting thing to actually go in the brewery and see. And we're going to highlight some fantastically clean breweries. Can you think in your mind about at least one Indiana brewery, I'm sure there's several, that you would put in the eat off the floor clean category, meaning you could literally slurp your beer from a puddle on the floor? Who would that be?
Sun King.
Sun King, okay.
Sun King in Indianapolis. I would say that they'd be eat off the floor clean. And I'm going, let me look at my map for a second because I don't want to leave anybody out who's not
certainly
not worthy of this. I mean, there was no glaring, hygienic breweries that I noticed along
mm-hmm.
the way.
Mm-hmm.
But Sun King was definitely clean. I really liked, New Albanian again, I can't say enough nice things about them because I really like them. And they have a really clean brewery. Back Road up in La Porte.
Okay.
We had one. There's quite a bit. And obviously, Omar's brewery at Three Wise Men
cool.
was clean as well.
Okay.
You know, having visited, I don't know, gosh, more than 1,000 breweries over the last decade or so, you know, in my mind, Sierra Nevada in Chico, California stands out as the cleanest brewery I've ever seen.
There are
every time you walk
yep.
into a room, they're spraying something down, or they're
mm-hmm.
sweeping something up, or they're disinfecting this or that or the other
mm-hmm.
thing. And it's really.
I would agree with
really
that completely.
Great.
They're one of the top threes. I've probably seen several at this point, we'll just say that. But and probably not as many as you, but definitely some. And I think that's one of the first things I noticed, which, of course, we're always reviewing things with our eyes anyway. And once you start looking in the corners and the nitty-gritty of where it all comes down, that's good to know. I haven't been to Sun King yet. I'll put them on my agenda to check out.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we're going to pause for a second community service announcement, and we will be right back with Beer Radio.
St. Clair Productions is pleased to be an underwriter of KSKQ-LP 94.9 FM in Ashland, Oregon. St. Clair Productions is the Rogue Valley source for live music with an eclectic mix of folk music concerts at Ashland's Unitarian Center from September through May. Styles include blues, bluegrass, Americana, and music from around the world. For a complete listing of upcoming shows, go to www.stclairevents.com or call 541-535-3562. KSKQ thanks St. Clair Productions and listeners like you for supporting community radio.
All right, welcome back, everybody. This is Ginger, your host with Beer Radio. We've got John Hall live on the show today. We'd have no studio audience other than perhaps a few random spiders hanging out. But other than that, we're talking about the new book, Indiana Breweries. We know that John is a great beer writer and has been doing that for some time. My next question for you, John, is, okay, so you've written Indiana Breweries. You said Massachusetts is Nest, yes?
Yes.
And then you've got a couple others in the hopper. So my question is, how long does it take you from the inception of the idea of the book, oh, I want to do this, X, and to the actual first signing of the book in your hand? What, tell us about that process.
Well, it took about 19 months between getting the publisher's approval to getting the book in our hands. And it took a few months after we made for our initial proposal to be approved by our publisher to go ahead with it. So it can be quite a lengthy process the first time. For the second time, Massachusetts just came together a few months ago, and we'll have that in to the publisher by August, and it will be on shelves by April of next year.
Oh, wow.
So it'll be a quicker turnaround, which is great for a book like ours, which is a tour guide.
Sure.
And almost a current look, a current snapshot of the state's brewing scene.
Right.
So it's helpful for us to have a quick turnaround time so that we're giving people the most accurate and up-to-date information.
Right.
And, you know, fortunately with Indiana, while Alcatraz did close, we did put a caveat in the book that they might be closing, but that we didn't want to pull the chapter just until we knew that they were shuttering, and we always urge people to call ahead
sure.
beforehand just to verify
right.
that one, the brewery's open, and two, brewers take vacations as well, as you know. And sometimes, you know, we
not enough probably
to show up only to find a shuttered brewery, which has happened to me in the past.
Right, right. Yeah, you know, it's just good courtesy. They're great people. They want to share. They want to open the doors and their kettles to show you. At the same time, they're working folk, and showing them the courtesy that you are respectful of what their schedule is. And, you know, you and I both know too, John, and a lot of people probably listening know, is that, you know, you start the brew and then it's its own animal, and you can't just arrest it and then restart it. You've got to really go from start to finish. They're busy. They have full days and so forth and so on. So good for you for promoting that. How did you, did the publisher that you pick, have they done beer books before, or is it,
yeah.
Okay, so that was a...
And they, you know, we certainly approach them, but they ultimately pick us for the book.
Okay.
Stackpole, which is out of Mechanicsburg, Pennsylvania, which is just outside of Harrisburg, sort of central of the state a little bit, they started this series, gosh, I don't know, almost 10 years ago, perhaps, with Pennsylvania Breweries. And
okay.
Lou Bryson, who is
yes.
just a terrific beer writer and just an all-around great guy, did that book, and it's now in its fourth edition. His fourth edition just came out earlier this year, or late last year, I guess it was, and since then, Lou has done New York, New Jersey. He did a whole book on Maryland, Delaware, and Virginia, and like I said, that there's other books in the works right now for Missouri and Ohio, and we're looking forward to adding more to the scene. I think that there might be some other states, even out west, that could be popping up in the next couple of months.
Yeah, for sure. Now, how many Massachusetts breweries do you know about of at this moment? Because I know, we both know, we just found out at the Craft Brewers Conference a couple weeks ago that there's over 1,700 craft breweries, which is 6 million barrels or less, and the benchmark for most people to mark that against is the Boston Beer Company. Clearly, they're based out of Massachusetts, and then the next ones go way up in the multiple digits. But how many Massachusetts
sure.
breweries are there on deck right now that you know of, John?
About 45.
All right. So you'll
yeah,
have about
and
a quarter more to cover.
Yes, absolutely. Which will be great. It's a smaller state actually, but it's they also have a lot of these nano breweries that are there,
yeah.
which are three barrels or less at a time when they're brewing. And obviously, Oregon is a great nano brewery
mm.
state.
Yeah, like Charlie says, the nano breweries, they're hard to find.
Yeah. Well, it's it's the internet makes things a little bit easier, but it's
right.
You know, one thing I should point out, though, because you mentioned Sam Adams and Boston Beer, is that the majority of their brewing is actually done in two production facilities. One is in Pennsylvania,
right.
and one is in Ohio. So the this brewery that they have in the Jamaica Plain neighborhood of Boston is a pilot brewery. They do some of their
barrel
there.
Okay.
They do Utopias there and a couple of other things, and they do a lot of test batches and brew for some specialty clients, but it's not an overwhelmingly huge system as people might think.
Sure.
Brewery the size of
Canada. Sure. Yeah. Good point. Good thing to point out. I'm just going to remind everybody you're listening to Beer Radio, coming to you live from Southern Oregon on KSKQ.org. You can stream the shows, which is the best way to reach us and listen to us at your convenience because they're also archived. You can reach me, Ginger Johnson, your host, anytime at ginger@womenenjoyingbeer.com. We're beer educators and diplomats, and we're always looking for some great people to share a beer with. You can also find us on Twitter at Women Enjoy Beer, and then on Facebook at Women Enjoying Beer as well. So we're talking to John Hall today. We've got a few more minutes. He's on the line coming to us from Jersey. Have you already had dinner and a beer, John?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
What did you enjoy tonight for your beer? Because I can't drink on the air, and so I'm going to vicariously and voyeuristically listen to what you had.
I'm looking forward to the Massachusetts book, so I'm actually drinking a Celtic Ale from the Harpoon Brewery.
Okay, excellent. And Harpoon, of course, was one of the sponsor breweries at the Boston Craft Brewers Conference in 2009.
And yeah, they're doing great.
You know, one thing I really like about Harpoon is their community outreach program. They're huge into engaging the communities. I mean, most breweries are extremely community oriented and definitely minded. And then it seems like some of them reach a certain tipping point that's not necessarily gauged on how big they are, but what they're able to do. And of course, the larger you are in general, the more financially able you are to engage and perhaps give back. But all of them certainly give back. When you were visiting the Indiana breweries for your new book, Indiana Breweries, John, did you run across or did you talk about any of the breweries, you know, what they did in their communities? And do you have any great highlights or interesting tidbits on that facet?
Yeah, you know, what is important to note with a lot of the craft breweries out there is that these are local businesses. So these are people who live in the community. They obviously want to work in the community. They're creating jobs, and they support the businesses around them.
Right.
So it's always really nice to see that if the guys are brewing someplace and they need, say they're brewing a chocolate stout, well, they're going to go to the local chocolatier rather than buying wholesale from a depot somewhere, you know, because they care about supporting other businesses in their community as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's repaid to them over time as well. So you see that all over the place. You're always seeing brewers donating to charities, be it through beer promotional items. And they understand the importance of keeping the community well represented, because without them, they're not going to be able to survive against some of the larger breweries that are out there, you know, let's say the big three, because the big three can bury them if they want. But it's only through community support that they're going to be able to sell more beer.
Right.
These smaller breweries are going to be able to sell more beer. And if the community knows that the money that they're spending, their hard-earned dollars, are going to a brewery that cares about not only the bottom line, but the community that they live in, I think you're going to have customers for life.
Absolutely.
As long as the beer is good.
Yeah, you're right. And, you know, that's a great point to pontificate about it for a moment or two. The beer makers and the people in the beer business definitely are putting down really deep roots and plumbing into their communities. You know, a brewery is not a cheap investment to begin with, regardless if it's new equipment or used equipment, because that is, you know, it's high quality stainless steel. You're looking at infrastructure with your plumbing and your zoning and all that, all the licensing and all that, and it's just mind-bogglingly different in every state and all the regulations and so forth and so on. And I always try to share with people that same kind of idea that you're talking about, John, and that they're really actively community-minded. They're finding ways to engage and give. At the same time, they do need to be a successful business to be able to do that. And I've worked with a few breweries pretty close and know how much they get hit up and how often people knock on their doors and ask for something. Generally, when you're in business at all, you get knocked on the door, and and people expect that you have something to give. And the great thing about the beer community is that overwhelmingly they do generously reach into their tanks and their pockets and help support those things. So that's a good thing to notice. And so in gearing up, John, for your Massachusetts book, what kind of prep or what kind of preliminary research can you do before you hit the road? And when you actually start, do you write most of it on the road? Do you go and come back, or how does that work for you?
Well, I always start by stretching, and then there.
Those 12-ounce curls and everything.
I wish I could say that. You know, I really try to write the same day that I report just so that things are fresh in my mind. But then, you know, there's that other beer that's put down in front of me, so things sort of get shelved a little bit. But either way, the book always gets done by deadline. So I've already visited about a dozen or so in the States. We still have a couple more months to go. Those chapters are coming along nicely.
Excellent.
You know, but there's every writer approaches something like this different, I imagine. So mine is sort of, if the moment strikes me and I'm ready to write, then I will. But if I'm not, then I can't force it. Otherwise, I'm just going to have to redo it later on.
Right. Right.
But
cool.
That's just my own personal style.
Excellent. Excellent. And so I asked your permission off the air, so we'll share with people right now. You have a lovely wife, April. And from what I understand, she also enjoys beer. Now, did she enjoy a beer with dinner tonight, and or what kind of beers does she tend to gravitate towards?
She was not enjoying one tonight, but you know, she does enjoy pale ales.
Okay.
And stouts as well.
Those are yummy. I think we're gonna do we got another event. We do monthly meetups among other things with women enjoying beer. And next week we have ours. You know, Kyle, you need to make it out here to Oregon, man, because there's just, as you know, there's so much great beer. But we're gonna feature reds next week. Do you enjoy good red beer?
Well, that's what I'm drinking right now, actually. That's
okay.
The Harpoon Calvea. That's a red. But right. Where's your event next week, Ginger?
We're going back to one of our favorite spots. It's called Four Daughters Irish Pub. And Dustin is an extremely beer savvy and really, he's always excited for what's new and what's different. And I'm sure he would love your book, so I'm going to have to get a couple of those online. And he is a great beer explorer. And so we're going to feature reds, and we're going to have some desserts and some cheeses paired up with that, because even though a lot of people in the beer world know this, but, you know, we're not after the people that are already engaged in beer. We're after the people that are just thinking about it, or maybe even don't even know they're thinking about it and want to get them involved. And so they're a great host for us. They're just down the road in Medford, which is about 12 miles north of the California border over here in Oregon. And they just do a great job for us. And so we're happy to return and so forth and so on. I know we're going to do a gelato and beer event coming up in June, too. We did a milkshake with Oscar Blues's 1050. There it is. And
wow.
It was fantastic. And some beautiful high-quality ice cream and some malt from Brees Malting. And it was just, I mean, there's this collective several moments of silence while everybody simply really, you know, with every cell of their being absorbed that milkshake and then held their glasses out like they were Oliver wanting more. So it was a ton of fun. So, well, I think we got to wrap it up. We have been talking to John Hall, great new book, Indiana Breweries. John, tell us one more time where you can find your great new book, Indiana Breweries.
Easiest thing is just go to barnesandnoble.com.
Okay, excellent. You and Nate wrote that. It's a great book. Have fun with the rest of your signings. Your next book is coming up on Massachusetts. You can visit John at beerbriefing.com. And thank you, my friend, for being here, and we will talk to you soon.
Ginger, thanks for everything you're doing for the beer industry. It's great having an advocate like you out there.
Oh, you're a sweetheart. We'll talk to you soon. Thanks, John.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. So there was John. He was our fine guest today on Beer Radio. John Hall wrote Indiana Breweries and beerbriefing.com. I am Ginger Johnson, your host here on Beer Radio. We've got a couple more minutes, and then we're going to take you out of the hour with a song from our favorite beer drinking songs German album. And just to remind you, this is Ginger Johnson. I'm your host here on Beer Radio, KSKQ.org, coming to you live every Wednesday from 5 to 6 p.m. Pacific time. You can stream it. You can archive it. We archive it, actually. And you can listen to it anytime on the archives. And just like a lot of things in life, the variety of shows we offer here at the radio station provide some great entertainment and compliments to your life. Beer Radio talks about all kinds of different things, beer, beer and food, history, and I just want to run down a few events we've got coming up. Women Enjoying Beer is my company, and we are hosting lots of different things, and if you're in the market for something unique, give us a shout, and let us know what you want to hear about. We're all about education and filling people in on what's going on with beer. We've got a meetup coming up next Thursday. We're going to be showing Beer Wars, the beer documentary that was made by Annette Barron, a fabulous producer, director based out of Los Angeles. And it's a documentary about kind of a commentary on the state of beer. And that will be coming up in May during American Craft Beer Week. American Craft Beer Week needs to be on your calendar. And that happens May 16th through the 22nd. So with that, I think we will sign off this week. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Ginger Johnson, your host on beerradio.com. We will catch up with you next week. Cheers.
Im Himmel gibt's kein Bier, drum trinken wir es hier. Denn sind wir nicht mehr hier, dann trinken die anderen unser Bier.
Sicher muss der Wein vom Rhein etwas Wunderbares sein.
Sicher ist am feinen Sekt etwas, was besonders schmeckt.
Sicher ist der Schnaps so scharf, dass man einen heben darf.
Aber heute seid gescheit, liebe Leute.
Im Himmel gibt's kein Bier, drum trinken wir es hier. Denn sind wir nicht mehr hier, dann trinken wir alle unser Bier.
Seinen Tick und seine Eigenart.
Eine fliegt auf glatt rasiert, die andere auf den Bart.
Einer möchte nur Fußball spielen, dem anderen ist das Durst.
Wir allein gestehen es ein, wir haben immer Durst.
Go melt back in the night. Everything inside is made of stone. There's nothing in here moving, and anyway I'm not alone. You say you're looking for someone who'll pick you up each time you fall, to gather flowers constantly, and to come each time you call. A lover for your life and nothing more, but it ain't me, babe. No, 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 it ain't me, babe. It ain't me you're looking for, babe.
This is Scott Garriott, and you are listening to KSKQ LP 94.9 FM, Ashland, Oregon, a project of the Multicultural Association of Southern Oregon.
Well, like silence, she stands.